The hour of recess having expired, the Senate is now back in session. We are on Senate Amendment 2 to Senate Substitute Number 4 for Senate Bill 564. Does any senator desire to be heard? Senator from Barton, for what reason do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. Could you send that substitute back? And I have a new substitute.
Substitute will be sent back. Please send your new substitute forward. Has it been distributed?
It has been distributed, Mr. President, and I would ask for a waiver of the reading, and I move for its adoption.
Hearing no objection, waiver of the reading will be granted. Would you care to explain the amendment?
I will, Mr. President. I'll take just a minute to explain it because we are having some amendments drafted, and so that will help that. This legislation now has a property tax and physical cybersecurity tractors, which have been removed. They were in the prior bill. They've been removed from this bill. It addresses the plant and service accounting. That is in there, but it is reduced to 85% of the actual investment amount. It still has the economic development rider as it was in there in the prior substitute. There is a needs assessment at the end of the first 5 years. Rate caps are still in here. There is a limitation on how much of the investment can go to piece of investment that can go to smart meters. There are a few other changes in here that are fairly simple, but Mr. President, if I can inquire the senator from the third, he also, I think, would have some things that he would like to point out in this bill.
Senator from St. Francis, do you yield to an inquiry of the senator from Barton?
Mr. President, yes, I do.
You may proceed.
Thank you, Senator. And I know we're waiting on some amendments. I think Correct. You had some things that you were going to change, and I thought you might want to take this time to explain to the body some of the things that your amendments will do, and so we can have all that done when we finally get the document.
Well, the two key amendments, one is that the cap is going to be adjusted down from 3% to 2.85%. And so for the body's information, the reason being is that there was a mathematical error in putting the bill together, and to rectify that, the stakeholders agreed that the best way to meet that adjustment would be to adjust the cap. So the maximum that could see a rate increase would be 2.85. Also, the consideration for 85% of the investment for PISA accounting would be in place, which you had mentioned, and that's going to be one of the other amendments.
That was prior at 90. Originally, it was 100%. We went to 90, and I think then now it's at 85. Is that right?
And that 85% is also in response to making sure that this is fair and balanced to the consumer and to the utilities themselves. So we worked together to try to create that balance. This is truly one of those bills that nobody ended up being happy with the final package, but they're glad that we were able to finally put a product together that we can present to the body.
And I appreciate work. There were a lot of things clarified in the time that we were able to spend together working on this, along with some of our other colleagues and some of the experts around the building. And I agree. There are things in here that each of us would probably like to see a little different. I think this is good for Missouri. I think that this is going to accelerate the modernization of the grid. I think that's going to benefit my constituents and your constituents. And so I am still excited about getting these changes made in the regulatory environment. And so I appreciate your willingness to struggle through this along with the rest of us. And I want to thank you, Senator.
And what we'll end up doing is saving the floor time and not have my Senate bill, I think it's 927 coming up, because components of 927 are in here. The needs assessment test, that language was modified. There will be a show of need through a plan of what the utility company will be needing to invest in. There's also going to be, they'll have to meet certain requirements to be able to renew that five-year period of time to be qualified for the PISA program. PISA will help the industry in plant and service accounting will allow the utility companies to start getting a return on their investment a lot quicker. It will speed up the rate process for them.
I'm sorry to interrupt. I don't think they're going to get any quicker, but they definitely are going to get it.
Right. Well, and that's the fact. I mean, with regulatory lag, once they put it in service, and maybe that's January, and they have a rate case in November, that January through November is lost depreciation.
Right.
But with the PISA program, they will be able to pick up that depreciation
at the next rate case, right. That's
yes.
Correct.
And so
that's, Senator, I almost forgot. I think you'll confirm this, but we also give the option to corporations to choose either the PISA or a decoupling process, which basically means a rate stabilization. So that the electricity generators will also have that option.
They will not be able to use both mechanisms. They'll have to choose one or the other. Obviously, we have three major utility companies in the state. Each have their own nuances of how they operate, so one size does not fit all.
That's right, and that was important, I think, for us to address.
Correct. And so we also talked about the fact that, you know, it was a concern that we wanted to make sure we were investing in our grid and infrastructure that meant something. There was a concern about too much being spent on smart meters early, so we limited that to 30%. And the 70% going towards transformers and other major infrastructure components to make sure that we are fixing the things that need to be fixed so that the smart meters actually are functional. We don't want to get ahead of ourselves in those types of things. So
right.
There is a balance.
I think it's important for us to also make sure that the body knows that that the tax reform benefit to the corporations has been captured and will be returned to consumers. So that is retained in the substitute, and that was one of the most important things. And that's going to be true for the entire 2018 year for each utility. So that,
all
I
three,
think, is important
yes.
for consumers to know.
And I think it's very important for the body to realize that. And they were readily, you know, they understand they're getting a tax reduction. Their revenues comes from their consumers, so that tax deduction amount should be benefited back to the consumer, and that
right.
is part of this bill.
Right. And I'm not sure where we stand on the amendments, and you already did explain, didn't you, the amendments. We also had a couple of technical changes. There was an S that was left out, and there were a couple of other things, and then there was a percentage number that was applied to one set of investments and should have been applied to a different set of investments. And so that went from a 30% to a 6% in order to maintain the right level of investment there.
Right.
And so I'm trying to remember if there were other, I didn't bring a list of those amendments, and I know that they're currently being prepared. I don't know if there's anything else in the bill, Senator, that you want to talk about. I know the body is eager to get out of here.
You know, we're almost subject depraved at this point by how much we've gone through this
right.
bill.
Kayla has done a marvelous job, along with the research staff, in trying to work through this very technical bill and try to get it back to us as quickly as possible. And now is struggling to try to pick up some of these changes that were made at the last minute. And I think we are we far too seldom acknowledge the expertise and the hard work of our research staff. Normally it's not with no sleep, but in this case it was also with no sleep.
Well, you know, it's very impressive that a lot of the consumer guys were just really concerned on how we can get this bill drafted in a short amount of time, but the talent that Kayla brings to this chamber, she's done a tremendous job putting it together, and I know they're trying to get through it as quickly as possible to make sure that no other technical amendments need to be taken
right.
care of. But we found what we think needs to be dealt with, and as soon as Kayla's available to be here, we'll take care of it.
I know everyone is eager for the filibuster to stop, and I hate to be filibustering, but we're in a situation here where we can't offer the amendment until the amendment is drafted. And
I know what you're doing. You had me filibustering for 36 hours, and you wanted at least one more hour with me on this bill on the floor.
That's absolutely not true, Senator. Absolutely not true. But I know there's movement, and so I'm sure we're going to have that amendment very shortly. We rang in a little bit sooner than I realized we were going to ring in, and so we hadn't quite had a chance to get all of the details worked out and the amendments into the hands of the research staff.
And I don't know if the floor leader would want us to stand at ease for a little bit or for us to continue talking and find out where we might need to check with the folks involved with this.
That might be a good idea. If he was interested in that.
Does the other senator desire to be heard? Senator from Cole.
Senate at ease. Stand at ease.
Hearing no objection, the Senate will stand at ease.
Mr. President, would you bring us back in session?
The Senate is back in session. Senator from St. Francis, for what reason do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. I have an amendment.
Please send your amendment forward. Has it been distributed?
It has not, but I will not close until it has been, and I ask for the waiver of its reading, and I move for its adoption.
Hearing no objection, the reading will be waived. The senator has moved for the adoption. Would you care to explain your amendment, Senator?
Thank you, Mr. President. There's three components. Of technical change that needed to be made, purposes, proper spelling, electrical, 2019. As I spoke a while ago, we're changing the percentage to be used in the parts of the bill from 90% to 85%. We've changed also from 30% to 25% of how much of their annual expenditures for their infrastructure replacement to be towards grid modernization. And then on the second page, we're changing it to 2 85 hundredths of a percent instead of 3%. And then also we're taking from my bill the force majeure language, but adding terrorism or other events which threatens the financial integrity of the electrical corporation. Mr. President, I'll be happy to answer any questions.
You've heard the motion from the senator. Does any senator desire to be heard? Does any senator desire to be heard? Senator from Butler, for what reason do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. President. To inquire the senator from the third.
Senator from St. Francis, do you yield an inquiry to Senator from Butler?
I do.
You may proceed.
Senator, I just want to say yeoman's work that you've done on this bill working with the senator from Barton. But I know you have put in a tremendous amount of hours while doing a lot of other work at the same time, lack of sleep, so on and so forth. But I just want to say great job.
Well, thank you very much, Senator. I appreciate your help. You were involved in the process, and the senator from halfway between you and I.
Franklin
County. It's late, short nights, but was very helpful and through the process, and appreciate his time as well.
Yep. Thank you, Mr. President.
Does any of the senators desire to be heard? Senator from Buchanan, for what reason do you rise?
To inquire the senator from St. Francis.
Senator from St. Francis, do you yield to an inquiry? Senator Buchanan, you may proceed.
Well, Senator, we've now at the 26 and a quarter hour point. My first question to you is, do you think that we would have a bill even at all had we not been working at this for 26 and a half continuous hours?
Senator, I would have much rather have had the opportunity to negotiate in a different forum than rather going 26 hours, but here we are, here's what's happened, and I understand it's been frustrating, but we do have a product before the body, and we've got some good work in it.
Okay. Second question. It's just a fact that when you work late at night, and it is 9:15 now, and when you work late at night and you negotiate in the condition that we're all in, which is extremely tired having spent a whole day filibustering, it is likely that there is an error somewhere in the 38 pages of this document.
And I can tell you.
It is likely.
It's possible, but I can tell you.
No, it's likely. It's likely that there is something in here that at the end of the day you would like to have changed if you could have had the accurate or the adequate amount of time to go through this thing line by line, which we didn't have. Will you accept that it is likely?
There is a possibility.
Okay,
yes.
It's likely, actually. Thank you for the inquiry, Mr. President.
Senator McCann.
To inquire of the senator from Barton.
Senator from Barton, do you yield to an inquiry of the senator from Buchanan?
I yield.
You may proceed.
Senator, it's likely that there is an error in this bill somewhere that one or the other side of this negotiation will not be happy with. If it turns out that there is an error and the senator from St. Francois finds it in the next few days, will you commit to working with him to try to correct the error to his satisfaction?
Senator, I'm always happy to try to correct an error.
Listen, the bottom line of it is, it's 9:15 at night. We've been filibustering for a whole day. Everybody's tired. The bill drafters are tired. The staff is tired. The doormen are tired. Everybody's tired. It's likely that there is going to be a problem surface that has not yet been identified, and I'm simply asking you that should that occur, will you commit to working in good faith, taking the senator from St. Francois's interests and your heart to solve whatever error should occur or be discovered?
I'm sorry, Senator. Yes. Was my previous answer unclear? That I would certainly work to correct, help to correct any error?
Okay. Now, we've been dealing with this issue for years now. The first time that I got involved with this, Tom Dempsey was the floor leader. Is this bill going to be coming back next year, the year after? Are my colleagues going to have to be fighting this bill for years? Is it going to come back next year, the year after?
I'm sorry, Senator, you're addressing that to me?
I'm asking you, do you believe that the utility companies will be satisfied with this? Will they come back next year? Will they come back the year after? Will the Senate be dealing with this issue again when the utilities come back next year, wanting more, more, more? Or will this be enough for them?
Senator, I can't predict what will happen in the House, and I really don't have a crystal ball for what's going to happen in the future on any legislation.
In other words, that's probably a no. Well, I mean, that, if that's the truthful answer, then I would ask the other members of the Senate to take note to your answer. I mean, you know, good luck, fellow senators, dealing with this again next year. Mr. President.
Senator Buchanan.
Mr. President, some people.
Senator Buchanan, for what reason do you rise?
I would like to speak on the bill.
You may proceed.
Some people in the world do not believe in free will. Some people do believe in free will. If you don't believe in free will, then you're kind of a predestination kind of a person, that no matter what happens, there is a sort of a fate. And maybe there is that. Maybe we do live according to sort of a fate. And maybe it was sort of destined that we would be dealing with this bill tonight. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I don't like the way the process came about. I don't feel that the Senate behaved the way that it should have behaved in the production of this bill, and I fear that the same behavior will occur with future bills. I don't feel that the negotiation on this bill was completely freely given because of the way that it was done. However, if it is that this is the fate of this bill, who am I to oppose it? Who am I to say that this is not the way that it was supposed to come out? Maybe this is the way. Maybe this is the final thing and the best we could do. I certainly hope so. I put my trust in the senator from Butler and the senator from St. Francois. I went into this event today not as a subject expert, but just as a person who understands what I'm seeing, who looks at the situation and says, this is what must be happening based upon what I'm seeing. The senator from St. Francois is a subject matter expert on this bill. I believe that he is. He's certainly more subject matter expert than I am. And so he did the negotiating. I did the filibustering. He has negotiated the best thing that he thinks that he can get. I'm not so sure that it's the best thing that could be gotten, but I do believe that it's the best thing that he could get, given the fact that he was threatened with a potential PQ in this situation. And so I'm looking out for the citizens of Missouri and the ratepayers. I think this is probably the best deal that we can get for the ratepayers tonight. But I don't like it. I'm not happy with the way the Senate worked, and I will have more to say about this next week. Thank you, Mr. President.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? Senator from the 24th, for what reason do you rise?
President, to inquire of the senator from Barton.
Senator from Barton, you yield to and agree with the senator from the 24th.
I do.
You may proceed.
Senator, we have gotten very little sleep, and we have a new version of your bill that was just given to us within the last hour, probably within the last half an hour, but I wasn't looking at the clock. And I want to make sure that I know what's in it. I'd like to go through it with you. I have some amendments that are being drafted of areas that I've seen, but I want to make sure at the end of the day that I know what's going on before I figure out how I'm going to vote on this bill. And so we're going to take a few minutes, if that's all right, and kind of run through this bill. So I'm going to start with you at the bottom of page 2, where the first changes to the bill are made. Thank you. So at the bottom of the page on line 22, section 3.
Right.
This was part of the gas. Was this part of the gas ISRS?
This is the result of a request by the Public Service Commission chairman. He felt like that there was some confusion about their jurisdiction, and therefore that there were potential complaints. It was possible that complaints could be filed with the Public Service Commission about areas over which they had no jurisdiction. I don't think that had ever actually happened. It may have.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure I'm following you.
I'm sorry.
So is this the gas ISRS portion of the bill? I can't remember what this does in this language that currently existed, what this does for gas corporations that we're now including electrical corporations.
Talking about page 2, right, Senator?
Talking about page 2 where we added the word any gas or electrical are the words that are added.
Right. The public
service. Make an application to the commission authorizing periodic rate adjustments outside of the general rate proceedings.
I think this is the section which, let me just check, make sure this is the right section.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I was describing another section to you. That was, I didn't realize this one was that brief, and the only other section that brief was the one that had been requested by the Public Service Commission.
All right, so putting in the words or electrical, what we're doing is saying that now we would allow the electric companies to be subject to that, those in-between rate cases, in-between full rate cases, periodic reviews.
Right, this is part of the decoupling part. That was discussed.
So, those two little words, or electrical, is really a huge change in how we are doing business now with the electric companies, because now it allows them to have these mini rate cases in between the large full-scale rate cases that occur every few years.
Actually, rate stabilization isn't necessarily mini rate cases. It's a process whereby a revenue stream is determined.
It's periodic rate adjustments. It's rate adjustments on a more frequent basis. That's what the language says.
The rate adjustments can happen throughout the period in accordance with the revenue streams.
All right, so we weren't doing that before with this?
Right, the purpose of that is that so that customers are not surprised by bills much higher than they were expecting because of some weather event or much lower than they were expecting by some weather event.
Let's not pretend that this is for the customers. This is about the utilities collecting money earlier than they would have. It's closing up the lag time.
No, it's actually about the customers not paying more than they should or less than they should.
Well, I'm not sure that we agree with that, that I agree with that statement, but what it does is it allows the electric companies to...
That's how the revenue stabilization mechanism works. It's kind of like, what do they call the...
Budget
billing, right.
Sort of,
I don't know if you've ever used budget billing, but...
Well, what it does is, though, it limits the lag time for the corporations by adding those two words. All right, I want to move down then to... the same page, adjust rates of customers and eligible customer classes to account for the impact on utility revenues of increases in so this is residential and commercial customers that are impacted there. All right, just want to make sure I'm walking through this with you so that I can say it out loud so that I know what you're trying to do here. On the next page, on page 3, we have... a whole lot more information about electrical cases, about the gas corporations, I believe. And again, I'm just reading this I went through it in my office for those few minutes we had, but I'm coming out here and we're going to end up spending some time reading together on the floor, I'm sorry to say. But I feel like it's important for me to know and for those colleagues who care about this important change in how their customers will be billed going forward. So this section... Thank you. This section, revenues means, and I'm just kind of glancing through it and going down with you, as used in this subsection, revenues mean the revenues recovered through base rates and does not include revenues collected through a rate adjustment mechanism authorized by this section. So that's just what we talked about, this rate adjustment mechanism that was authorized on the previous page that now includes electric utilities.
Right.
This subsection...
is where one of the amendments applied. There where it says beginning January 1st, 2018. If you want to correct your copy, that should say 2019.
Okay. Now, all right. So that's part of the corrections that you're sending
around? Part of the amendment that was the senator from St. Francis.
Oh, okay, that he's put forward. All right. I am going to let you know that when we're through his amendment, I have an amendment that is applicable on this page and some others that changes that expiration date. I've talked about this at other points in time about sunsets and about when things end. And, you know, if we wait longer than 6 years, there may be nobody left in the chamber, in either chamber, that was here. So I am shortening the time period so that people who are here discussing utility bills at this time may still be here in the legislature. So going to have that end on 2024, or at least I'm going to offer an amendment.
Oh, okay. I've got you.
I haven't done it yet. They're sitting on my desk. I just want to pour through this with you so that I can get the amendments drafted, and then we can sort of work through that. And that is not the only place where you have a 2029 sunset. So we're still going through and looking for those. And I just want to forewarn you that the rationale is, no matter what the bill is, I think that we need to make sure that there are people who have some historical knowledge that are actually elected officials who were here for this discussion and debate that may still be here going forward. So that's why I'm doing it. It has nothing to do with the specific content of this bill versus any other one. I think it's a safety mechanism for the people who send us to Jefferson City to know that we are overseeing this stuff on a regular basis that allows some continuity of knowledge of information. All right, I am going to move on to page 5, if I may. And on line 20 on page 5 of under section 9, any electrical, gas, water are sewer corporations. So we've added sewers to this area of the bill. Can you?
We actually have not. When you get a chance to go through the amendment, sewer will be removed.
Oh, we're taking that out with the amendment that's proposed right now on the floor?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So that's nothing that I need to concern myself with at this point in time. Okay. On the next page, page 6, under section 14, I think that this is probably something you're dealing with. I think it's a typo. I want to make sure I'm clear. Down at the online 21 where it says...
That's a typo, and that is removed by...
That is removed.
Senator
that's going to be taken
Burke's
care of
amendment.
By the amendment that's pending. Okay, good. And I wanted to actually go through that new section in this because it's a pretty important section and it has a lot of detail in it. And it may have been in one of your earlier versions. I don't recall. But will you...
There's also another amendment, if I can interrupt you just for a second.
Of course.
On line 14, Senator.
Uh-huh.
Where it says subsections 3 and 4, you can scratch the S on subsections and you can scratch the and 4.
Okay. Okay. Can we go... So I'm going to sort of say this out loud so that I can talk to you about it, but each public utility... And I want you to explain to me in more layman's terms what these... complex ideas are so that I understand and anybody, again, any of my colleagues who care about this also understand, if perhaps they do already. Each public utility operating under a mechanism proposed and approved under subsection 3 of this section shall quarterly file a surveillance monitoring consisting of 5 parts. Okay, so currently do any of our public utilities file a surveillance monitoring?
They do.
And tell me who and why.
You know, I don't know that I can answer that, Senator.
Okay.
But they do that routinely. This just puts it in statute because there was some sense that that would be better in case it's in rule now. And in case that rule would change in some time in the future, this just makes sure that it is somewhere in statute so that it doesn't go away with the rule.
Okay. All right. And so I want to talk about what that means exactly, but there's a lot more to this section. So I'm going to read on and then we'll kind of go back through, if you don't mind, and talk about who that advantage is and how it might help the consumers. Each part, except the rate-based quantifications report, shall contain information for the last 12-month period and the last quarter data for total company electric operations and Missouri jurisdictional operations. So from what you just told me, the electric corporations are probably already doing this because this only refers to the electric corporations and you're now putting it in statute. Is that correct?
I'm looking for where you... Oh, I see that. You're in section 14?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm just reading it so that you can follow along with me and see what I'm asking for.
And tell me, and what was your question?
So my question is, you said that this is something that we already do. It's in rule, and we're just codifying it through statute. So I'm saying to you, since this is only in reference to electric companies and operations, that by rule they are currently doing this. I'm asking this. That's what I understood.
If they are under this particular application, yes.
And who falls under this particular application according to subsection 3?
Sorry, who does what?
Who falls under this application? You said it only if they fall under this.
Anyone who has filed and received a rate stabilization mechanism authorization.
Okay. And would that include Ameren, for example?
No. Ameren will file for PISA. and you cannot file for both.
Okay, so this will not apply to Ameren. Okay, interesting. Okay. Rate-based quantification shall contain only information for the ending date of the period being reported. And then we've got that typo that you're fixing. All right. Part one of the surveillance, and again, this applies to other electric companies, not Ameren, under subsection one, under section 14. Is that correct? Because it's talking about the surveillance monitoring, which you said will not apply to Ameren.
And to point out again, I'm sorry.
So I'm on line 22 on page 6, subsection 1 under section 14.
Right, this Ameren is not going to file for this.
So this is, and can Ameren file for this?
They can't file for this and PISA.
So they're going to make
only file for one or the other.
And when they decide which one they're filing for, and they'll file for plant and service accounting is what you're saying.
Definitely.
When they do that, are they locked into that accounting process, or can they go back and forth? Because I know in a previous iteration, in a previous year.
I don't know actually what the stipulations are there, but I'll have to check. I don't think there's any back and forth that's available. I don't know that I've asked that question, because usually an application here is largely dependent on what kind of the structure of a corporation. What their current investment structure is, and what their opportunities are in terms of their customer base. And so it can vary because of the size. It can vary from other reasons. But no, you're not going to see, for one reason, if you file for PISA, you're going to be in there for 5 years minimum, because it's a 5-year program and then could be extended to 10. And I don't remember if there's a limit on the rate stabilization mechanism, but it's really a structure so that you're not going to file in one, then file in the other, then file in one, then file in the other.
Okay, Senator. So now we come to the plant and service is falling under subsection one under 14. So why is that? If you're going one direction or another, why does it look as if it's part just by the organization on the page?
Where are you reading, Senator?
So now we're going to go to subsection A under section 1, the very last line, 28 on page 6. So plant in service is now falling under this surveillance monitoring report.
Well, this is not plant in service accounting.
Okay, tell me what that is.
Plant in service accounting is what is the other program.
Right.
That's
okay,
a way.
Okay, so this is all. So this and everything on the next page is all under the surveillance.
For a plant in service, these things would be filed.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Yes. Yes, so if I'm concerned, all right, so all of this stuff on page 7, all the way through.
That entire section.
You know, that all the entire way over section, to all the way through page 9, it looks like to me.
All the way over to 386, 390.
Okay. That's all in reference
report.
To the surveillance portion, nothing to do with the plant and service accounting.
That's right.
Okay. All right. Then that takes a big chunk of information away from me, which is good. I mean, I'm not going to deal with it now. Would you just explain to me, I just want to let you know that the expiration date under subsection 6 on page 9, so line 6, subsection 6, we looked at that expiration date, and I think it should be changed, unless you tell me a reason not to, I think it should be changed to the 6 years out, so to the 2024. And I have an amendment that does that. So if you have somebody that has a reason that they want to say why we shouldn't be doing that, I'm certainly willing to listen.
Yeah, I think that's just a 10-year expiration.
All right. If there's no reason not to change it so that the legislative body has some information, some historical information, and we don't leave everything in the hands of...
That's an argument you can make.
Okay, sure. It's an argument. Yes, and unless you have a good reason other than it's 10 years... I'm more than happy to listen.
On a program
to,
like okay. that, just to give us some stability, but you can certainly ask.
Well, but some of these programs expire on. After 5 years, so I'm not sure what stability we need to be looking for. So, down at the bottom of page 9, there was something that happened in my district, and I think it's happened in other districts, and I've been trying to figure out how to resolve a problem for a constituent whose home value was significantly diminished, in my opinion, because I don't think we brought somebody out to really evaluate the loss in property value to her. But she lives very close to a huge electric tower, and it was from her home. She couldn't see it. Even though it's huge, she couldn't see it because there were trees that blocked her vision of it. And there was also, previous to the trees being there was a building in between her home and the tower that belonged to the electric company. The building was taken down, I don't know how many years ago, but the trees provided cover. And the trees were actually built by the developer, or planted by the developer, on the right-of-way, not on her property. So it was, we tried to work with Ameren, and I think for a while they were trying to work with us. They wanted to take down those trees and help her have her plant different vegetation, and they ended up taking down a lot of trees. And I will tell you, these trees, she has a beautifully kept, relatively small house, and now you walk from her driveway, you get out of your car, and all you see is this huge tower looming over off to the side, to the back side of the house. And before, what you saw was this beautiful yard with these deciduous trees and pine trees, and now the area that her kitchen, that also got shade from these trees, and in the summer when it was hot, it you know, kept the kitchen at a cool temperature. Now that kitchen sun is pouring in there because those trees are no longer there because the electric company came and cut them down according to their standards, not necessarily, in my view or hers, agreeing with the FERC and NERC standards. And we were told that our electric utility has a compact with other electric utilities that say within a certain amount of feet, within a certain proximity to a tower. And let me tell you, there's no way those wires were ever going to fall on those trees in her yard. It was too close, and they were so high up that these relatively small trees that sat on ground that was many, many feet lower than where the foot of the tower was, there was no way that any kind of disaster was going to create a problem where these trees tangled up those wires. And yet they came in and cut them down. She had really very little recourse. And I'm explaining all this to you because here is what I would like to do. At the bottom of the page where it says who can appear before the commission with a complaint, it says, you know, a city hall can send, you know, by a vote of the board of aldermen or the mayor or the chairman of the board or majority of the council, those entities can go and complain, and that not less than 25 customers or purchasers. I think one customer with a serious complaint, if she is willing to take the time to go and bring proof and evidence of something that should not be done, to either proactively keep it from being done or retroactively say, this needs to be different. I think by changing that number 25 to one consumer or purchaser or prospective customer would go a long way to making sure that other people whose homes were devalued significantly, and if I took you over to that home, you'd see exactly what I mean. I think that might be a good change and a good way to going to making sure we're protecting the value and evaluation of the homes of the consumers of electricity throughout our...
Senator, I'm not sure if we're reading that correctly.
Okay.
This is existing language, so I don't know that I have fully studied it, but it looks to me like this is the process whereby someone files a rate case. And the reason it's structured this way is because since a rate case might cost an electric corporation $1 to $2 million, it's structured so that certain parties have standing. But if it is a consumer complaint, it requires that there be some kind of a I guess, a habitual problem. And so it's basically saying that but 25 consumers can also, if you look up here above, the decision commission provided, no complaint shall be entertained by the commission. So it's talking about the Public Service Commission.
Tell me where you're reading. Yeah.
Line 21.
Okay.
Except upon its own motion, the Public Service Commission can call itself into action as to the reasonableness of any rates or charges of any gas. This is about gas, electric rates. Public Service Commission engages, and so it's
so
basically what you know is a rate case.
As opposed to a complaint about the property
this
being devalued.
This is not
all right,
a private complaint.
So knowing my problem, and now I've talked to
Public
some people.
Public Service
and,
Commission.
Right. And, you know, I've talked to people at the utility, so this was in Ameren's jurisdiction. Within this bill, I want to help that. Here's the rub. So there were a lot of other homes in this area. This woman's home happened to be the closest one to this 472-foot tower, however right. tall it was. There were other homes in the area where trees were cut down, and what she heard from people who came and talked to her was that Ameren had an obligation to cut down, and I don't think I'm misspeaking, and if I am, I apologize, and somebody can correct me, but Ameren had an obligation to cut those trees down to protect themselves, because if they didn't, they were going to draw a lawsuit from other people whose trees they cut down. So I understand Ameren, and listen, I want the utility that provides my services not to have to be embroiled in lawsuits that cost them a lot of money. I also want to know that my constituents who use these services are able to live in a home that is all that they thought it would be and all that that it grew into for them over time.
What did Ameren tell you when you talked to them about the trees?
They said they were going to cut them down. And they came out and they looked at it. They stood there with us.
So you called prior to the cutting down
of
the
trees?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We actually, they had the tree cutters down there. They stopped.
She saw the tree cutters. That's what alerted her to the problem and contacted Ameren and contacted you.
Yes. And so we were there in a two-week period of time prior to them. Well, they wanted to start. They stopped. They let us have conversations with them. They sent people out to the house. We talked. And they basically said, sorry, we can do this. We have a compact that says we're cutting down trees that are within a certain proximity to the tower and are of a certain height. Now, one of the things we suggested to them was, and I'm going to give you an example by telling you to look at my desk. Her house sits on the floor. Her trees sit next to her house on the floor. This is an exaggeration, but the tower, the base of the tower is this much higher. When you have a 10-foot tree starting from here versus a 10-foot tree starting from here, that's a whole lot of difference, right? That's all these additional feet. They would not take into consideration the difference in the ground level. I think that they need to be able to find a way without being sued, because we don't want them to be sued either. Cost me, the consumer, when they get sued. Without being sued, to find a way to take into account the life and livelihood and property of the people who are in the proximity of their towers. So I would like your people that you're working with, all the utility people that are here in the building, all the lobbyists that are here in the building, to look at this bill and figure out how to solve that problem in this bill.
Okay. They're not really my people, but
they're the people you're working with, and they're the people whose water and electricity you're carrying. So
none of them has talked to you about this.
I have mentioned it briefly to one lobbyist whose name I won't mention, but no, we haven't. And actually, there are two lobbyists who know about, maybe more that know about this, because some of them came out to the house over during the interim when we were there dealing with this issue.
To look at the damage.
To look at the property.
Yeah.
And so I think they know clearly what the problem is, and I would like them to figure out, as we go through this, how to fix that problem. And you're right, I see why this is not the case. We're not talking about a rate case here. So I will not offer that amendment. Senator, I don't think we're done going through the bill yet, but I know that the senator from the third wants to carry through his amendment. So I'm going to relinquish the floor, and I'm hopeful that we'll get a chance to talk later. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. May I inquire of the Senator from Barton?
Senator from Barton, do you yield to an inquiry of the Senator from Cole?
I do yield. Thank you, Senator. Just a quick moment to thank you for your efforts and mainly to thank the staff that's up behind this dais and over at this table. I know we're going to get the senator from the third came back, but in that moment while we were waiting for him, I just wanted to thank you guys for working together and thank these folks for
the fine
job.
Think we can give them a hand, Senator?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Seeing the senator desire to be heard on Senate Amendment 1. Seeing none, Senator from the third, you recognize close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I close.
The senator from St. Francis renews his motion for the adoption of Senate Amendment 1 to Senate Substitute Number 5 to Senate Bill 564. All those of you pending that motion shall prevail, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senate Amendment 1 has been adopted. Further discussion on Senate Substitute Number 5 to Senate Bill 564 as amended. Senator from the 7th, for what reason do you rise?
Part of the senator from the 24th. Mr. President, to inquire the senator from Barton.
Senator from Barton, do you yield to an inquiry of the senator from the 7th?
If I'm not mistaken, we were going to come to you to close just now on the I mean, we just adopted the senator from the 3rd Amendment.
Senator from Barton, do you yield to an inquiry of the senator from the 7th? You may proceed.
Okay, Senator, I know that the senator from the 24th wasn't done going through the bill. We just adopted the senator from the 3rd Amendment. If I'm not mistaken, if no one stood up, they were going to come to you to close on the substitute, correct?
That's what I anticipated, Senator.
So did the senator from the, was the senator from the 20, I mean, I'm good with your bill. I'm a yes vote on your bill. But was the senator from the 24th done with amending the substitute before it was adopted with her conversation with you?
It didn't sound like it. I don't know whether she was available to say, so you'd have to ask her, Senator.
Okay. Mr. President?
Senator from the 7th.
Before we close on this, I'd like to inquire the senator from the 24th.
Senator from the 24th does not appear to be in the chamber. Sergeant of Arms, please summon the senator from the 24th. Senator from the 7th.
To inquire the senator from Cole.
Senator from Cole, do you yield to an inquiry of the senator from the 7th? You may proceed.
Senator, I think you know that I'm as willing and ready to get done with this as anybody, but I think I heard the senator from the 24th say that she wasn't done with her inquiry, but they wanted to dispense with the amendment from the senator from the 3rd. So when I saw the president say that we were getting ready to close on the substitute, I just didn't want the senator from the 24th to miss an opportunity if she was going to amend the substitute.
Yeah, I didn't hear the other part, but I mean, what senator from the 24th said to the senator from Barton, so I'm sorry, but I'm sure you did because you were sitting right there, so.
Yeah, I just, again, I'd be happy to sit down and vote and have us go home tonight, but I just wanted to give her one last chance to have her say on this bill and offer the amendments that she wanted to offer, and so I'm just giving her that opportunity.
Got it. I think there is no opportunity, maybe, but I appreciate that.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Mr. President.
Does any other senator desire to be heard? Does any other senator desire to be heard? Seeing none, Senator from Barton, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I close.
The senator from Barton moves that Senate Substitute Number 5 for Senate Bill 564, as amended, be adopted. As many of you opinion that motion shall prevail, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senator from Barton.
President, I move that Senate Substitute for Senate Bill 564 be declared perfected and ordered printed.
You've heard the motion of the senator from Barton. Does any senator desire to be heard? Seeing none, Senator from Barton, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I close.
The senator from Barton moves that Senate substitute number 5 for Senate Bill 564 as amended be declared perfected and ordered printed. As many of the opinion that motion shall prevail, signify by saying aye. All those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The bill is declared perfected and ordered printed. Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, Senate will go to the order of business of announcements.
Seeing no objection, Senate will go to the order of business of announcements. Announcements. Senator from Cole.
Thank you, Mr. President. As I make my announcement, one more thanks to the fine folks behind the dais, behind the walls we can't see. We appreciate all they've done for us the last 30-some hours. I would move the Senate stand adjourned until 1600... No further business coming before the body. I would move the Senate stand adjourned until 1600, Monday, February 12th, 2018 AD.
The senator from Cole has moved to the Senate stand adjourned until 4 p.m. on Monday, February 12th. All those of you pending that motion shall prevail, signify by saying aye. All those opposed say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The Senate is adjourned.